Tonight I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. And I'll read from 69. Now Peter starts without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou seest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another man saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, Peter remembered the word of Jesus which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He went out and wept bitterly. Tonight, my subject is Peter's denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's denial of Christ. And we'll consider this passage as we see it here. I remember last week, was the last time I spoke about Judas's betrayal of Christ, which I said I will continue with that of Peter's also the denial. And remember, I said that Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial are great sins recorded at the last stages of our Lord's life on earth. And if you remember also, I said that Judas's, we saw his betrayal as a hypocrite, disciple of Jesus Christ, whose betrayal exposed his unbelieving heart. And if you remember, we went on to look at the things, his own life before that incident, how the Lord Jesus Christ proved that he was an unbeliever, unbelieving disciple, how he even warned him several times, and how at the end, when he sinned also, his repentance really led him to further sins, which showed him that he was not a faithful disciple, a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in contrast, we will reflect on Peter's denial and we'll realize that though he sinned, yet he was a genuine believer who loved the Lord. But out of weakness of faith and overconfidence, he fell into such a sin. And it teaches us many great lessons as true believers also. As we look at Judas's past, how he went on and on without giving heed to the warnings and even everything the Lord said. But we also see how Peter's own is a great sin as his, which all demand condemnation, but they were all great sins. I remember one commentator said that if Judas had not betrayed Jesus before, Peter might have been the person, because how he went on and went on and went on. But you know, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself has promised that he will uphold him when he falls, and that he will be told that Satan has decided to sift him, and that Satan has decided to destroy him, his faith and all that. So we know that it was foretold even before the incident. So whatever happened then, though it was a great sin, yet we will see how we will learn such many lessons from this. So before we get to the actual denial, let's look at Peter before, how his life was with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, before Peter sincerely demonstrated his trust in the Lord, remember his great statement in Matthew 16:16, that he said about the Lord Jesus Christ, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus Christ told him that his Father it was his Father that revealed such truth to him. And Peter showed his total trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as God, who have come down on earth to be our Savior. And also, at one time, his faith, though weak, so little, but he never doubted the Lord. Remember, when the Lord was walking on the sea, All the disciples were afraid. They said it was some spirit coming. But Peter, what Peter told the Lord, said that in verse 4, Matthew 14, 28, 29. And Peter answered him, the Lord Jesus, and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. All of them were afraid, but see, Peter always showed his boldness and courage among the disciples. And often, he overreacts sometimes also. Remember, the disciple that, cut off the servant of the high priest here when Jesus was being arrested. It was Peter. We were told it was Peter. But then, we see him also showing here his genuine trust in the Lord. And he said that, if only is the Lord. If thou, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. If the Lord only says you come, you will come. Such is an example of a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this what the Lord has said, I will do. It's only the genuine converted believer who can say this, that is this what the Lord has said. Though it is a great, I will put my life in a great danger, I will do. And Peter demonstrated his love, his obedience and his care, his concern for the command of the Lord in such a way. He also showed his love for the Lord even at the final stages of the Lord's life, before he came to his temptation and fall. He also showed his great love for the Lord. Initially, Peter and all the disciples fled when Jesus was betrayed by Judas. They all left him. Peter, though he was also afraid, but he returned. He returned to observe what would become of his master. Though we are told that there was another disciple also, who was there, but Peter returned. In Matthew 26, 57, 58, we are told that, verse 57, now let me read this to 58. And they that had laid hand hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servant to see the end. Peter, though he was afraid, he also, ran away, but he came back. He loved the Lord. He though he couldn't have the courage, as he once said, that he wanted to stand with the Lord, but he came back to see what will happen to his master. He showed his great love for the Lord and his concern, only that his faith here has become weak. He said that he followed him afar off to the high priest's palace. And it was here that his troubles began. When he came to the palace, here that his troubles began. And Satan knows when to even tempt even the most faithful believer, the most sincere believer. Satan knows when to tempt him. Knows when we are weak, and when to throw in doubts and fears and throw in things to make us stumble. And here Satan, I have seen Peter so fearful, yet though following the Lord, yet it's like somebody who is half-hearted and doing something half-hearted. Satan notices that. And here he comes in, which is temptation against Peter. So now move to the first denial. And we have it from 69 to 70. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. I know not what thou sayest. Peter, we are told in verse 58 that he followed Lord Jesus Christ at a distance. And as he came, he also came and he sat at some place in the forecourt in the palace to observe the outcome. He wanted to have a fair view of what would happen to Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm sure where he was, he could see what was happening inside there, where the Jewish council were there trying the Lord Jesus Christ. But then to his surprise, while he was trying to keep himself quietly to observe what would happen, then to his surprise, a damsel came unto him, a maid servant, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. To his surprise, he was attacked. He was asked, you were with him.
Then Peter was alarmed. He thought, well, already he was fearful because he was following at a distance. And he came there just to observe, as we are told, to see what happened to his master. And then this damsel came, this servant came to tell him. And he said that Peter, already been afraid while in the palace, he lost courage to identify himself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Already fear has gripped him. So he lost his courage. They said, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou seest. He seems to have said that, I have no interest in what you are saying. I have no knowledge about this Jesus of Galilee and his followers. And to charge me of being one of them is false. That's what's implying that way. I don't know what that says. What you are saying about me, you are charging me falsely. I don't know anything about that. But you see, the maid was honest and saying the truth. It was Peter who was being dishonest here. He was rather the one denying his master. Peter was trying to put the thing as if the maid was the one who was trying to slander him, something like that. Because, it's like if he accepted, he might be counted among you and he might have to go and die with him. So it was something like a life and death. So it was Peter who was rather being dishonest here. The maid was saying the truth. So before we move on, we gather this room from here that Peter denied the Lord out of fear. It was fear. His faith had become weak and his love cold. Remember Abraham, when he went to Gerar with his wife, Sarah, and the king Abimelech tried to take his wife. You know, he also lied. He said that it was his. And when the thing was exposed, the Lord told Abimelech to restore Sarah back to Abraham. And Abimelech confronted Abraham and said, why did you not tell us that she was your wife? And he said, I was afraid of the many because the fear of God was not at this place. You know, Abraham was a man of faith, how he left his country to go where God had led him. But there's a small incident. He said, because he thinks there's no fear of God in the place. The Lord who has kept you is not able to keep you at the place where there's no fear of God. But you know, at that time, he too, through weakness of faith, have to say untruth to defend his case, where he said Sarah was his half-sister, which was not the whole thing. Elijah, to remember, when even he has commanded fire to come to burn the sacrifice, and the false prophet of Baal have been killed, plenty of them have been killed. Just a woman, Jezebel. The words of Jezebel caused him to be afraid, and he began to run for his life. Elijah of all people, you see, fear is something that is something that causes Satan to make us doubtful and weak and cold. That causes Satan to throw his temptation to us so that we're able to do things to displease the Lord. This is a slavish fear, a fear which causes us to sin, a fear which causes us to seem to. This fear leads to selfishness. It makes us to think of ourselves and our self-preservation. This is the case of Peter. He thought of his own life. Like if I say I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ, I might be killed. See, at that moment, fear and coldness has taken hold of him. So may we ever be mindful of slavish fear, as it always leads to selfishness. It makes us not be able to deny ourselves for Christ. It makes us rather deny Christ to save ourselves. This slavish fear causes the thought of our safety to absorb us so that we fail to deny ourselves in order to obey the Lord's commands. So that we begin to think of ourselves and our safety as if we are going to lose our life. But who owns our life? That's the question we always say. The believer knows. They are the one at large. Some may deny that life is from God. But the believer, the true, the one who has his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has received forgiveness of sin, who has his trust in the Lord, who have had his heart changed, who have had God's grace given, forgiveness given, know that his life is in the hands of the Lord. And he desired, he determines what and how he should live. But then fear will, can cause us to be weakened in this idea. So that we become so weak, and then we begin to do things against the Lord's command. So we see Satan took notice of this, and now he begins to tempt Peter to sin. He saw his fear. He was putting the Lord at a distance. And he saw him becoming weak in his love for the Lord and also in his faith. Often many unfaithfulness in many believers is out of slavish fear. We are saved out of this fear to really live and obey the commands of God faithfully with courage. I know we live in this world and we still have our own nature fighting against us. And if we give ourselves, this thing will come in. When we are less prayerful, when we are less giving ourselves to constant study of the world, when we let the world absorb us so much, our activities, our family life absorbs us so much, not enough time to pray, not enough time to study, to give ourselves to the things of Christ, fear will grip us along the line. Something will happen, and we are shaking. We will not be able to stand on our feet. Slavish fear will get grip of us. And then Satan will throw in temptation. Maybe unexpectedly, then we may fall into disobedience. Remember, Peter himself counsels us later years in 1 Peter 5, 8, and how we should be careful, we should watchful against Satan's attacks. He said that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Resist steadfast in the faith. Satan is always looking around to devour not our properties, not our wealth, not our riches, but our faith, the believer's faith. He is looking to weaken it so that our trust in the Lord will be weakened. Then we disobey. You see, that's one thing the charismatics are always missing. They think Satan is after their marriage, after their children, after their businesses, after their properties and whatever. That Satan don't care about that. He cares if we are unbelievers to keep us in unbelief. But if we are believers, so that he will seek occasion for us to weaken our faith, so that our trust in the Lord weakens, then we begin to disobey the Lord. Then the joy of our salvation is lost. Then we begin to walk around as Christians, and yet the power to live as Christians is weakened. Then we are not able to be obedient and to live as we ought to. So let us be mindful of how we give ourselves to the things of the world against the things, our spiritual things that will help our spiritual life, prayer, word, constant studying, and depend, trusting the Lord, giving ourselves to Him, waiting on Him, always not rushing in things, being more careful with things, thoughtful, bringing them to the Lord, and then looking up to Him in all things, and not deciding things for ourselves, always bringing them to the Lord to help us. And it will help. In that way, we'll have a clear mind to act, a clear mind, a desire to also, look into things when they come to us. But if we are negligent in these things and begin to give ourselves to the world and the activities, and we absorb so much, then this thing will come. Then, one way or the other, this thing will come. Then, the fear, slavish fear, will grip us, and then disobedience will come. So we see Peter was following the Lord at a distance. And we see that it was fear that was putting him in such a position to deny his master. So I'll move to the second denial. That's from verse 71 to 72. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. So Peter now went away from the fireplace into the porch, into the inner porch, thinking probably that to conceal himself from being noticed. Well, he has denied the Lord, though he has not confessed, he has not repented, but he thinks, okay, he can help himself by trying to avoid maybe exposure. So by his first, we see that he seems to at least to keep his ground, to still be courageous to continue, but he was still feeling uneasy. But we notice that we are not told that he repented for the first sin. He knew he had sinned, but he went on to still continue what he was doing. I mean, trying to get information about the end of what will happen, what the end of the Lord's life. So it tells us that he has sinned, but he has not repented. He has not sought the Lord to cleanse him and to forgive him. So this also teaches us a lesson. So you see that then the next attack came in. So when sin is not repented of and forgiveness sought from the Lord, it doesn't matter how careful we may feel about it, we are bound to occur. I mean, the sin is bound to occur with us. When we have sinned and we have not repented, well, we are aware of the sin, but we still want to, I mean, try to do things to please the Lord. We are bound to fall into the same sin again. Because Peter was still in the sin, in a position of disobedience, and yet he was in the store in the way showing his love for the Lord by keeping his ground, you see. So then, the next thing will happen to him. So may we ever be sensible of our sins and seek for immediate repentance. For repentance, unbelievers coming to know the Lord in repentance. Believers, we daily need repentance because we always, in our life, we have so many things that we do that are not right. There are so many things, that corruption that's around us. So many sins around us. But we are promised that if we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all sin. Sins unconfessed really causes our spiritual life to become a standstill. We may, on the outward, do everything, but then, before us and God, our spiritual life is unhealthy. And then, we are becoming not useful as we ought to. We are becoming unprofitable. Because if we confess and repent immediately, it will make us careful. It will make us watch out. And really will cause us to be really careful with us and really to stand proper ground. So as Peter has not confessed and repented of the first sin, we see another man saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. He has, how he sinned the first, now he has moved an inch further, with an oath. Not just denying, but with an oath. So before he simply denied, he never knew, he knew nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. But now with an oath, he was adding perjury to lying. Taking an oath to lie. Initially, he just said he never knew the Lord, you see. He was going further in sin. The sin was still behind him. And as always, one sin, if unrepented and really sought for grace to be able to overcome, it will lead us to another sin, with far greater one. And it has always been like that. One sin leads to the other. So Peter's case here show the wickedness and what? Deceitfulness of human heart. Our heart, as Jeremiah said, is deceitful. The human heart is very deceitful. And believers, we have been given a new life, but we still have our old nature with us. We have our bodies, any delights, any desires with us. So, no sincere believer will ever trust himself for anything. It is hypocrite and unbeliever that trust in themselves. No sincere believer will ever trust himself for anything. Remember what Apostle Paul himself said in Romans 7:18. For I know that in my flesh, that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not, says Apostle Paul. In our flesh, even after salvation, there is nothing good in our flesh. All the desires before salvation and after salvation by the flesh is so sinful. All the fleshly desires are so sinful. The Christian still have a sinful flesh. Then, too, he's been given the grace, the power to overcome it. Now he has the upper hand. But yet, that sinful nature is still there. If we get careless, it will assert itself to begin to show itself in our life. So, the sinful heart, the sinful appetite of our flesh is still there. being washed. Yet, see, the old nature is still there. And if we give ourselves to our fleshly desires, it will grip us. It will need the grace of God to really draw us back. But then, we should be mindful of that. Apostle Paul himself said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, even after conversion, in our flesh, the desires of our flesh, there's nothing there. Dwelleth no good thing. For to present, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I found." But to the believer, God has given us the power to overcome our flesh. Though in our flesh, to will is not present with us. But we have another nature which gives us the strength to overcome those things that are displeasing to the Lord, to be able to live to please Him. So you see that conversion makes a difference. When we are saved, then we have the power. Else we'll try and do, we will never be able to accomplish anything. At the end of the day, our life will not please the Lord if we are not converted. Our life will rather accumulate more sins, and then at the end of the day, we will never have any blessing from the Lord, and will be lost from Him. So that it is only when we are converted, when we have repented of sin and know the Lord says salvation, we have know His forgiveness, then we are sure that we have strength to overcome our fleshly appetites that are working against the will of God. And so the believer has this. Mm-hmm. So may we never forget it, that confidence in ourselves will render us useless. The arm of flesh will fail us. Depending on our fleshly appetite for things, whatever good we may think of it, will never assist us in anything. That is why often, do you know what causes fear to grip us more? It's our sinful flesh. The desire to preserve our life. Discontentment comes from where? Our sinful flesh. Complaints come from where? Our sinful flesh. Coming to do much for the Lord is too much. I have to have some time for myself and all that. It's the flesh. So that I give excuses for not doing what I'm supposed to do for the Lord. It's the flesh. The believer has this with him. It's a daily battle that we have to come face to face with, and we have to always ask the Lord help to help strengthen us to overcome these propensities. It will always assert itself if we allow ourselves. It will give excuse for everything that we will not commit ourselves to anything. So the arm of flesh will fail us. So here we see that it's not enough to avoid temptation. Peter left the fireplace to the inner court, sure to avoid further confrontation. So, but it is not enough to avoid temptation. If we retain any confidence in self, we will fail. If we think we ourselves will try to prevent things, we will fail. Because the devil will get us. Rather, we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, as we are told in Ephesians 6:10. That is all that we need, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the same Ephesians 6:13-8, we are told of the armor of the Christian armor, helmet of salvation, and living according to the Bible truth, trusting in the righteousness of Christ alone, faith in the Lord alone, praying, and all those things that give the Christian strength against all the attacks of Satan. It's only there to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's only there that we are able to stand against everything that will cause us to cause our love to be cold and our faith to be weakened. It's only this that we'll be able to do that. So let us be mindful of this, that our faith must always be strong so that we'll be able to withstand. So we will not give ourselves to our flesh and the appetite of our flesh. All the excuses of not being able to do as we ought to do as Christians is for our flesh. And we are not servants. If we are true, genuine, if we are truly genuine Christians, we are not servants of our flesh. We are servants of Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to obey His commands and not what we desire. If we desire things that will cause us not to do His will, as Titus tells us, then the grace of God that bringeth salvation appears to all men, teaching us to say no to ungodliness. Anything that will make us disobedient, we say no. It is sometimes difficult because we have become weak. But then if we see grace there, like, we're able to overcome it. And like, we'll be able to be strong in the things of Christ. So, I move now to the third denial. That's from 73 to 74. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately they come through, saying, I know not the man. He now not just lying, curse and swear. He added, he went on further. But you know, we are told that after a while, that means I'm sure few some time. And Luke, Mark tells us a little after, in Mark 14:17, Luke also says that it was about the space of an hour after. So the first and the second, the third one, there was a span of 1 hour. An hour for Peter to sit down to recollect what he was going through and what how he had been sinning against the Lord. So it shows that Peter had time to reflect on his previous sins. He had time to think of what he has done. Over an hour, and still he was still there. So that he could be able to guard against temptation that will come again if he should be attacked. But sadly, he continues in his denial of the Lord. And it'd be much worse than the previous one. I remember it was here, I read a comment there from a commentator. He said that he thinks that if Judas had not already betrayed Jesus Christ, Peter must have been the person. Well, that is his own thought. Because the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus told how Peter will fall and be restored back again. But on the human eye, it seems he could have, if not the Lord. Because from once, you know, he's even cursing and swearing. He doesn't know the Lord. And what else he couldn't have done afterwards? Are you see? But then, when we think of his temptation, now it was more violent. Before they were, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them. So you see, before he was confronted by single servants, single individuals, but now by a group of people. Now they were not just one, it was a group of people. In John 8:23, we have been told that one among this group was a relative of the man whose ear Peter cut in the garden. So this man really knew. He told him, you are the one. He challenged him that you saw him in the garden. So you see, this one was, the last one was more violent than Peter. And then he had already, and they said that, for thy speech be royal. You are from Galilee. That's what they are saying. As Mark Gospel tells us, that said that, Mark 14:7, he said that, for thou art a Galilean, for thy speech I give thee to. I'm sure the Galileans had a distinct way of speaking, so they were seen. When, like, let's say if you are a fancy and you are speaking among people, they say, oh, he's an account, but he's a fancy, because look at how he speaks. That's what they say. So they say, no, you. So there were one of them was relative to the person who cut his ear. Another person, and most of them say, your speech itself identify you as a Galilean. And I'm not sure any Galilean will behave if he's not a disciple of Jesus Christ. So you see, then we are told, then because it was so violent, then Peter wants to make sure that to let them know that he has nothing to do with them. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. How it came violently, he also began to really affirm that he's not part of the disciples. So here marked the final stage of his fall, the progress. When he, as we are told, I mean, always they say that. Disobedience and sin goes downhill. If we continue a life of disobedience, even as believers, we will descend, descend our spiritual life. It doesn't matter how matured we have been. In so many years we have been Christians. If we retain any disobedience, our Christian life will sit down. We will never have that strength of the Spirit to be able to walk aright to the Lord. It will go deep, deep down until we have repented and seek for forgiveness and restoration. So by cursing and swearing, he strongly affirmed that he never knew the Lord. This is a strong affirmation that he never knew him. So now he has become weakened by continuous sin. So he has become insensibility to sin have seized him. Now Peter has no restraint. Peter has nothing to restrain him again. Because to swear, you cannot just to say I don't know him. as to swear and to curse from the mouth of Peter is something that is strange when we think of it. But then, if each one of us here who is a believer, if we have not known our own struggle with the flesh, Peter's case would have been strange to us. But I'm sure every believer knows the struggle that we have with the flesh, with sin and with the world daily. And we might have been like Peter, see the Lord does all the strength that he says every day. Because we know the struggles in our heart to obey the Lord. So we understand. Though Peter sinned, we are able to see how our sinful heart can deceive us to go so much far from the Lord. So it's a tragedy. And then, but in all this, we realize that all that happened, the cause is the fear, the slavish fear, fear of man. The fear to stand in with the Lord, for the truth. To be able to obey, to make ourselves as who we are as Christians. It's the fear of man. The fear that, if I give myself mind to the work of Christ or to the labors of Christ, to anything, if I give myself too much, I might lose some things in the world. That's the fear of man. That's what sometimes grips many believers. And they seem somehow, sometimes you wonder, is this person a true believer? But he cares so much about the world. It can happen to every one of us if the Lord does not help us to always be faithful and to always be alive in our spiritual walk with Him. So, let's look at Peter's reaction after the fall. So we are told the last part of 7-4, we are told that, and immediately the call crew, after he had denied the Lord, cursed, word, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the call crew, thou shalt deny me thrice, and he went out and wept bitterly. And immediately the call crew, exactly as the Lord had foretold Peter, in Luke 22:31-34, to record there, immediately the call crew, then Peter came, Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the call crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. In Luke's gospel, he tells us that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. In Luke 22:61. That the Lord, where Peter was, he wanted to see the end. So he was having a view of what was happening. And said, the Lord turned to look at Peter. So all while Peter was saying, the Lord knew Peter was in that progress of sinning. And you see, when the Lord turned to look on Peter, and that look was like a rebuke, and also pity and love, showing that the Lord's words are true. He told Peter that he will fall. Satan had decided to save him. The Lord showed his foreknowledge as God about Peter. But Peter didn't believe. He thought he was so strong. But it happened. But yet, it's also a rebuke to him that he couldn't really identify himself with him, to stand with him. So it was the Lord's look that produced this bitter shame for his sin. Peter was going on sinning, but the Lord's look alone and the words of Christ that made him to realize his shame. He was awakened to his senses, not by himself, but by this gracious look, or by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how the word of God quickens us to spiritual things. Remember, Jeremiah once said, it was the word that quickened him, that brought him, he said that he heard it and he draws strength from it. It is the word alone, and it is the obedience to what Christ has said, remembering what he has said always, that will help us. Thinking of what the meditation of the word, that will cause us to always be mindful when we are even getting, into disobedience. The word. The Lord looked upon Peter, and he went with Peter. So let's come to conclusion as we come to conclusion here. So Peter 4 here teaches us how dangerous it is for a believer to use any form of insincerity to cover his faults. You know, the first answer shows Peter seems to say that I don't know what thou sayest. It's a word that have a hidden dishonesty in it. It's something that, you are aware of something, but I have no knowledge about it. Just to brush it aside. So that whenever we are not able to say or do things as it is, and then we want to cover it with any form of dishonesty, it's dangerous. It will open up to temptation, because we have to again cover it up again to save our skin. You see, Peter did that, and none of us thou seest. So avoiding exposure when we have sinned definitely shows insincerity and will lead to other sins. When we have sinned, we have to stand by it and accept. When we have done wrong, we have to stand by it and face the consequence. That's what the first book of Peter tells us, that when we have been done wrong, we should take the shame. We should take the punishment for our sin if we have done any wrong. And whether in the church life or whatever it is, when we have done wrong, we have to admit it and take it by ourselves. We should not brush it aside. No. It will lead to other sin. That's what Peter did. Peter, you are fearful, and then you want to cover up your being a disciple of Christ. And then he went on and went on and went on. If he had, at the first instance, if he had said, "Yes, I am," all these things will have been prevented. But then he went on and on. So secondly, also we saw that Peter went out and wept bitterly after his fall. He went out and wept. And this marks his true repentance. His heart was struck with the fact that he had denied his Lord. He went out and wept. So this teaches us that when we have sinned, we have to immediately confess with sorrow, repentance, seek forgiveness, afresh from the Lord. Whenever we have sinned, so that we don't cover it up. There's no sin that is so little to confess and to repent. In Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and severe such, that be of contrite spirit. Whatever sin it is, if we really are sincere before the Lord, He will help us. He will prevent us from greater danger. The beginning of sin, which we might say, is not too hard. What we feel guilty in it, we go to the Lord. He will help us. He will assist us. He will hold us so that we will not be given up to greater sins. Yet the Lord's willingness to forgive and restore us is not a license to sin. The Lord has promised to forgive us when we come to confess, but that does not guarantee us. That not give us a ticket to go on sinning. No. As Paul said, should we continue in sin and grace by abound? He said, no. No genuine believer will say, okay, well, the Lord will forgive you, so I'll go and sin and come and confess. I'll go and sin. No, it shows that you are not a genuine Christian. No genuine believer will live by such an evil principle. So that if I sin, another anticipation that I'll repent afterwards, then I'm not genuine Christian. Then I'm a stranger to God's grace. But God's grace doesn't teach us that. Yet, when I have a genuine believer, I have sinned. Yes, God has promised to forgive when we confess our sins. You see? Also, true repentance leads to a dislike of for sin. When we have truly repented, we are giving grace to dislike our sins. That's one of the pictures of true repentance. If our repentance are genuine, we have a dislike for the very sin that made us to sin against the sins for which Christ died for. We have a dislike, a hateful for it. We will not have that inclination to go after our sins again. Judas proved his repentance to be false by immediately committing another sin, suicide. Peter, we are told that when he repented of it, he took the money back to the people. But what happened after all? He went to hang himself. It shows the insincerity of repentance. As we said, that he was thinking of the harm, not the sin that he has really sinned. Just the harm that's the result of the sin. But Peter proved his to be true by serving the Lord faithfully afterwards. Remember, when the Lord rose from the dead, he came to meet them. And he even charged Peter. He said, "Feed my flock." He told him, "Feed my flock." He gave him a charge specifically because he knew what Peter did. He forgave him, but the Lord gave him that charge, "Feed my flock." You see? But Judas, after his repentance, he committed suicide to add sin to sin. But Peter, after his bitter crying and repentance, we see that he served the Lord faithfully afterwards. So this man's genuine repentance, that yes, he sinned, but then the Lord forgave him. He repented and the Lord embraced him again. This is a blessing, a privilege for believers. As I said, we don't depend on it, say, I'm going to sin and come and I'll come back and repent. No genuine believer will do that. The grace of God that teaches us. And yet, when we have sinned, the Lord says we should come and confess it. He forgive us and restore us and give us strength to overcome it again. The Christian life is a daily battle. We sin, we serve Satan and the world, and we arm ourselves against it. So, thirdly, we also see that sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ may allow genuine believers to fall to show them their weakness, check self-confidence, and to produce dependence on Him. Sometimes we may be growing proud, we may be growing self-confident, and sometimes we are becoming weak on a certain, disobedience. The Lord may allow us to fall into sin, and we realize, oh, how foolish we are. And then we now become so careful with that kind of life. Then we begin to trust in Him more. We'll not depend on, we'll throw away self-confidence. You see, sometimes pride and self-confidence begin to rise in the heart. But sometimes these things checks the believer. And then becomes, again, stronger for the Lord. So we see that Peter was a genuine believer. Jesus prayed for him. In Luke 22, verse 32, he said that we pray that his faith should not fail him. And that is the blessing, the preservation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ when we are saved. That our life in this world is mixed with so much sorrow, pain, and we sometimes disobey the Lord bitterly. But then the Lord is true to his promise to keep us. And that our faith in him, if it's genuine, will never die out. It's a hypocrite faith that dies out. It doesn't have God's hand in it. It is produced by himself. And when trouble comes, it will fall and fall and fall. It will never rise up again. But the new faith, though he falls 7 times, as the Bible tells, the righteous fall 7 times, but he rise up again. So this is an encouragement to us that though our life on earth may be assailed with so much troubles, sometimes we foolishly disobey the Lord. But then we must not lose courage. We must know that we are still having our own nature with us. It should rather prompt us to be careful with this world and how we live our life on this earth. And this is how our life ought to be. There's temptation around us. Satan is always trying to throw things around our mind to deceive us and to cause our faith to fail. But then the Lord has prayed for us. He'll keep us. That our faith will not fail. Like Peter's faith, ours will also not fail. The Lord will keep us. But let us remember, any sin without repentance makes us weaker and weaker into further sins. May the Lord help us as we reflect on these things.